الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ياسين والقرآن الحكيم، إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم. تنزيل العزيز الرحيم، لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا، وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته. Most honorable ulama, respected brothers, elders, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. These are few verses, beginning verses of Surah Yasin, which I had the honor to recite before you, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yasin wal Quran al Hakim. وَالْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ By the wise Qur'an, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ Verily you are the true messengers sent عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ On a straight path. تَنْزِيلَ الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ This is a revelation from the Almighty, the Most Merciful. لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنْذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ So you can warn those people whose ancestors weren't warned at all, therefore they were clueless and heedless. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was born in Makkah Mukarramah, the entire Arabian Peninsula was engulfed in darkness. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and few others with him were the only people, this was the only group of people who stayed away from idol worshipping and many other vices, sins, or evil habits that were prevalent and at that time. You can say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was one of those people who was going against the flow of the time. But he displayed such piety since his childhood that the entire Arabia knew that this person was nothing but Amin and trustworthy. To that extent that the disbelievers who did not believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they knew that this child is not an ordinary child, this is a special child. There were many, many special things that happened upon his birth, which is compiled into a book formed by many ulama in the past, like Abu Nu'aym has authored a book, Suyuti has authored a book on the khasais of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. When he reached the age of 40, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam announced his prophethood that now I have been given this responsibility by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am an official messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will receive a revelation through Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Upon this announcement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, those people who were fond of him became his enemies. Those people who were close to him became far away from him. Those people who were related to him, they started acting as if there was no connection between them and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The same people who used to praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam out of animosity and out of jealousy, they started mocking and ridiculing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. They started to degrade and defame the personality of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, because they just could not bear that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is chosen for prophethood by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quraysh were extremely influential in the Arabian Peninsula, so much so that they were the custodian of the Ka'batullah, the Baytullah, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had so much honor and respect throughout Arabia. So someone who is a yatim, someone who is an orphan, who does not have a father, who does not have a mother, no real wealth, affluence or influence around Arabian Peninsula, and this person is chosen as a prophet of Allah, they could not take this. And this was a very, very strong blow on their respect, on their dignity, on their honor. So they started showing their animosity towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. They tried different ways to ridicule him and try to stop his mission. They even used his uncle Abu Talib. They went to him and said to him that you are one of the influential personalities of Quraysh, and you know the position and the status of Quraysh among the Arabs here, and your nephew has claimed to be a prophet, and he has started to say bad things to our idols. Can you explain to him, can you say to him that if you do want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at least stop saying bad things to our idols. Ulama mentioned something very, very amazing here, that the kuffar of Makkah did not have a problem with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The thing they had a problem with was that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was denying and declining idol worshipping. And he was saying bad things to the idols, meaning he was doing nahi anil munkar. Ulama mentions that those people who are doing the work of deen, they have to do both. They have to do amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. They have to enjoin good and forbid evil. Even though forbidding evil will create a lot of opposition, many people will be against you. But this is part and parcel of this da'wat and this mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being the Sayyidul Anbiya, and he was the Imamul Mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wasallam, despite that he faced so much opposition in this mission, in trying to propagate the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making people understand that there is no other God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and my prophethood is the real prophethood, and there will be no prophet to come after me. My brothers, me and you doing the work of deen, the work of deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a very, very low scale, how can we expect that we will not face any opposition from anyone? We have to be ready, because we will face opposition, and most opposition comes when nahi anil munkar is done. When people are told that this is not correct to do, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, this is wrong, this is when people start to go against you. If you just enjoy good and enjoying good and say to people that, oh, you should pray salah, you should do dhikrullah, you should engage yourself in the tilawat of the Quran, everybody is happy, everybody likes you. But the day you start telling them that this is the action that you have in the in your life is not according to Quran and Sunnah, it's contrary to this divine law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something to do with your culture, or this is something which has come to you from your forefathers, this is when the opposition starts to come.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam faced a lot of challenges. They tried in different ways, nothing worked. Now they started doing propaganda against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they started saying different things, that this person is a magician, this person has some sort of insanity, and this person is sick, he needs to be treated. This person, he just wants to become big and influential. This is why he has announced his prophethood. Or this person wants to become wealthy. This is why he's saying that he's a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started revealing verses after verses, defending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the things that the kuffar of Makkah said regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, in hadha illa ifkun iftarahu wa a'anahu alayhi qawmun akharun. They said, this is nothing but a lie. This is nothing but a lie. He's saying that he's a prophet. He's saying Jibreel comes to him. He's saying that Allah is sending down revelation to him. This is nothing but a lie. This is a person who has claimed prophethood by himself, and he has worn this crown of prophethood upon his head. Nobody has made him a prophet. He himself has become a prophet. Iftarahu, and this Quran that he is reciting in front of us, he is making it up. وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ, and he has a whole team with him. He has his own disciples that are helping him to create this new book, and he is presenting this in front of other people. When this didn't work, they said, أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ اِكْتَتَبَهَا فَهِيَ تُمْلَى عَلَيْهِ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. This is a fairy tale of those people who have passed in, before him. From the past nations, he has learned few things, and he goes to other people, he learns the fairy tales and the things of the previous scriptures, and then when people are awake, he comes to them and he reveals to them and he starts reciting in front of them, trying to deceive them that this is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'udhu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are saying that this is a lie. فَقَدْ جَاءُوا ظُلْمًا وَزُورًا. These people have come up with a huge zulm, and they have come up with a lie themselves. And they are saying, أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ اِكْتَتَبَهَا فَهِيَ تُمْلَى عَلَيْهِ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. قُلْ, O Muhammad, tell them, أَنْزَلَهُ الَّذِي يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. They are saying that you have made this Quran up. Tell them that that being is revealing this Quran to me, or that being, then that entity is revealing this Quran to me, who knows the apparent things and the hidden things within this world and also of the heavens. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving, the most merciful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions other allegations that were made against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he gives answer after answers, after answers. And even after this didn't work, the kuffar of Makkah, they started to blame Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or trying to defame his personality by saying, إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرْ. That it feels as if somebody is teaching him. There is someone who is teaching him, because he has been to Syria 2 times. It's possible that there is someone in Syria that he went and learned from, and now he has come to Makkah Mukarramah and telling everyone that I am a prophet of Allah, I receive revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is reciting these verses of the Quran, saying that these are the verses and statements of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them used to say that there is a person called Bal'am. Bal'am, there was a slave from Rome who Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam used to go and teach the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People started to accuse him by saying that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is not teaching Bal'am. It's in fact Bal'am teaching Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some said he was Ya'ish. Some said he was Jabr. Some said he was Yasar and Jabr. Some said Salman al-Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. They started saying that these are the people teaching Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is saying and he is deceiving everyone by saying that this is a kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's mission and his personality was attacked from different sides, different friends, in different ways. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he would become extremely sad, and he would become so depressed, and he would become so sad and so down that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, because he had so much love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could not see the state of his. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself came for his rescue, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started defending the personality of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. He revealed these few verses of Surah Yasin to console Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Yasin wal Qur'an al Hakim. I swear by the wise Qur'an, the Hakim Qur'an. I swear by the Hakim Qur'an. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to defend you himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath of Hakim Quran. Imagine Allah is taking an oath. Allah is taking an oath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath of Quran. He could have taken oath of something else as well. But the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath of Quran is because when somebody questions the prophethood and the Risalat messenger, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's being a messenger, indirectly the person is putting a question mark upon the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is questioning the authenticity of the Quran as well. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath of Quran that I swear by Hakim Quran. I swear by Hakim Quran. As far as we humans are concerned, we are not allowed to take qasam of anything, anyone, any object apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can only take qasam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not allowed to take qasam of Ka'batullah. We are not allowed to take qasam of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are not allowed and permitted to take qasam of our parents. We're not allowed to take qasam of our children. We're not allowed to take qasam of any creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to take qasam, then you take qasam of Allah. If you want to take qasam, then you take qasam of Rabbul Kaaba. If you want to take qasam, you take qasam of Rabbu Muhammad. If you want to take qasam, you take qasam of Rabbul Ummi, Rabbul Abi, the Rabb of your father, the Rabb of your mother. You take qasam of your the Rabb of your children. We are not allowed to take qasam of anything else. Because in reality, why does a person take qasam? A person takes qasam so that he wants the opposite party to believe that my statement has no trace of doubt within it, and whatever I'm saying is absolutely truth, and there is no chances and possibility of it being something else apart from whatever I'm saying. Now, the object or the thing you are using in your qasam, you are trying to show that this object, this thing, or this entity, or this person is so precious in my eyes. He is so honorable. He is so respected. He is so dignified, or he is so holy that it's impossible for me to use this person's name or this object's name and take qasam upon it and say something which is against reality. Now you tell me, my brother and my sister, that who can be more holier than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who can be more respectable than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who can be more honorable than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is why we can only take qasam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even in taking qasam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ulama say that Allah's name is not that cheap that we start using Allah's name for trivial things. This has unfortunately become the norm of our time, that with small things we keep saying wallahi and wallahi, wallahi this happened, wallahi I went there, wallahi I came from there at this time, wallahi I didn't do this, wallahi I did this. For trivial things, for small things, for petty things, we're using the blessed name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers, Allah's name is not that cheap. Allah's name is so honorable. It's so sweet. It holds so much respect within it that we should have so much respect for the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only use it when there is a dire necessity. When there is no other option left, then we take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we take qasam. Apart from that, we should abstain from taking qasam, because sometimes a person will end up taking qasam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what the statement he is uttering from his tongue will be something which is false, and he will be held accountable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is taking qasam of Quran, that I swear by that Quran which is Hakim. I take qasam of that Quran which is Hakim. Now the question is that we humans take qasam to make our statements firm and to make sure that the message is embedded in the hearts and minds of those people who are listening to our talk. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need to take qasam? Because who can be more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلَ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that who can say a more truthful sentence than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who can utter more truthful word than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need to take qasam. But the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes qasam is sometimes to show the greatness of the object being sworn by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the word Quran. Allah is saying, Wal Quran il Hakim. I take an oath of Hakim Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show the greatness of this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there are approximately 104 divine scriptures that came to this world. But this manual book which I have given to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is such a book that all these divine scriptures that came in the past cannot surpass this one book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that Quran. Because this is the Quran, which is the leader of all the divine scriptures. And it is a speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can imagine a king of this world, when he says something, a sheikh or a scholar or something who is respectable in the community, when he says something, people start to say that, oh, so-and-so person said this. Or we quote someone from the past scholars or pious predecessors, and we say that, oh, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say this, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say this, Hassan al-Basri rahimahullahu ta'ala used to say this, Hakim al-Ummah, Maran Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahimahullahu ta'ala used to say this, Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Nawarallahu Manakadahu used to say this. When their names are taken and the statement is mentioned, then people pay heed to such statements more than the statement of the speaker. Why? Because they have reverence, they have respect for that being. This is why they listen to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you have respect, you have honor, you have reverence for the speech of these individuals, and they are my creation. This is a speech of that entity which is the creator of the entire universe, the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi. This is that person's speech. And Mulukul Kalamul Muluk, Mulukul Kalam, Kalamul Muluk, Mulukul Kalam. The speech of the kings is the king of the speeches. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king of all the kings. You can imagine the status and the rank of this Quran and the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath of Quran, wal Quran il Hakim. Sometimes Allah takes an oath to capture the attention of the people reading the book or people who are listening. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath to highlight the statement that is to come after this oath. He wants to make a point, so he wants people to pay attention to the statement coming ahead. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath. In many chapters of the Quran, in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath of many things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath of wat-teen, wa-zaytun, wa-tur-sinin, wa-hadha al-baladil amin. He takes an oath of these four things. Then he says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. He takes an oath, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. And he takes an oath, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. He takes an oath of many different things. And after taking an oath, he gives some message which is very, very important for the humanity. He says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. So he wants to highlight the statement that is to come after it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like I said, did not have to do this. The reason why Allah does this is because Allah knows the nature of humans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed sentiments, some emotions into a human nature. And it is a human nature that when qasam is taken and then a statement is said, they actually pay attention to such statements more than the normal and ordinary common statements. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath and he makes this qasam an evidence, proof and dalil for the statement that is to come after it. Let me give you an example. Allah says, wal asr innal insana lafi khusr. Allah ta'ala takes an oath of time. I swear by time the entire humanity is at last. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. How can you say that the entire humanity is at last? The proof and dalil is وَالْعَصْرِ. Time. Look at the time. Look at the time that has passed before you. And study the books of history. If you flip the pages of the books of history, you will know that the people who excelled in this dunya was because they took care of their time properly and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them success in this world, and inshallah they will become successful in the hereafter. And those people and those nations who did not take care of this time properly and they indulge themselves in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they wasted their time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them such conditions that they faced a lot of downfall in their life, and may Allah forbid, they will face a lot of punishment in their grave and a lot of torment even on the day of judgment as well. So if you look at the time, you will know that إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Except four kinds of people which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ahead. The people who possesses these four qualities, they are not at last. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he takes qasam of something, he makes it a proof and evidence for the statement coming ahead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَالْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. I swear by this Hakim Qur'an, I swear by that Qur'an which is Hakim, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Verily, you are from amongst those who have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are from amongst the messengers sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very amazingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to defend the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam by taking a qasam. But if you ponder over this qasam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took about Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal Qur'an al-hakim. He could have simply said, wal Qur'an innaka lamina al-mursaleen. I take an oath of Qur'an. You are the true prophet. You are from amongst those sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses one of his sifati and attributive names. And he says, wal Qur'an al-hakim. Wal Qur'an al-hakim. I swear by Hakim Qur'an. This is the eloquence and the rhetoric and eloquence of the Qur'an, which we all know that the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds within this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has used the word al-hakim. I didn't translate it by saying that the wise Qur'an. I said, I swear by Hakim Qur'an. The reason why I did this is because there are three meanings of al-hakim. Some ulama say that al-hakim is made from dhul-hukam. Dhul-hukam means something which gives verdicts, something which gives judgments, and it gives a very, very bold judgments, and such judgments which cannot be changed. It is an absolute, and it does not have any possibility of being changed. Dhul-hukam, Quran, is that book which gives bold verdicts, and it gives bold judgments, and it cannot be changed. Even if people get offended, Quran will not change. Quran gives an absolute verdict that this is what it is. If you want to believe, you believe. If you don't want to believe, you don't believe. Quran is dhul hukma wal Quran il hakim. Quran is hakim. Hakim, it's possible that it is from dhul ihkam. I swear by muhkam Quran, firm Quran, strong Quran. Dhul ihkam, meaning when something is very, very closely knit and perfected by someone, it's called ihkam. This person has done this work in a very, very muhkam manner. So when a book is called muhkam, it means that this book is perfectly compiled. This book is perfectly authored. This is why Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala says that hakim means that it has been perfected in both its arrangement and also in its meanings, such that it has no defect, no shortcomings, no error within this Quran, because it's made from dhul ihkam. It is perfectly knit. It is perfectly knit. And it's also possible that this Quran, this hakim, is made from dhul hikmah, wisdom. That this Quran is full of wisdom. It is infused with wisdom. And it is an articulating, it is filled with articulating wisdom. So much wisdom within this Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is wise. The Quran that he is revealing is also wise, and it is full of wisdom. And it has so much wisdom. And in terms of its meaning, it's so complete that every time people, they sit down and start writing the tafsir of the Quran, since the time of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum until our time, so many people came up with different commentaries and tafsir of the Quran, but nobody can claim that I have done justice to this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have mentioned all the uloom and the knowledge that this Quran contains and that this Quran holds within it, and there is no room for any other tafsir and commentary to be written after this tafsir of the Quran. Nobody can claim this, because every day, each hour, each minute, each second, people, different people around the world, they discover something new from this ocean of knowledge which is in the form of Quran in front of us. This is why the people who are teaching tafsir of the Quran every year, they teach tafsir, but the previous year they taught tafsir, the next year they start teaching tafsir, they come up with something new. They discover something new, provided that they stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their hearts are pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with a divine knowledge, which is called the ilm al-ladunni, which comes directly, divinely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They take out different pearls and different rubies from this ocean of Quran. Every year this happens, and every time they recite Quran, they come up with something new, because this Quran is full of wisdom. This Quran is full of wisdom. This Quran is full of wisdom. This Quran is muhkam. This Quran is dhul hukm. It gives verdict. It is muhkam. It is firm. In what sense? How is it firm? How is it firm? Like I mentioned, it is firm when it comes to its arrangement, in terms of love. And it is also firm, and it is also very, very strong and closely knit, and it is perfected in its meaning as well. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has taken this responsibility upon him, that it is upon me to safeguard this Quran. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. It is we who have revealed this book, and it is upon us to protect and safeguard this book of ours. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. No batil can come even close to this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing, no batil can come from front. No batil can come from back. No batil can come close to this Quran from its right side. No batil can come closer to this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from its left side, because it is divinely protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can change a single word. Nobody can change a single letter. Nobody can change a single harakat of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, nobody can change even a single dot in the of the Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has taken upon himself that it is we who will who has revealed this book, and it is we who will be protecting this book of ours. لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآنه ثم إن علينا بيانه. When this book was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was in the process of revelation. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given this responsibility by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to listen to this Quran from Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, commit to his bosom and pass it on to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the messenger because of this responsibility, out of fear that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will not be able to fulfill his responsibility. When Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam used to recite this Quran to him, he would start reciting this Quran right after Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam recites the verse of the Quran. But sometimes Jibreel used to come with only one verse of the Quran. It would be easy for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to repeat one verse of the Quran and put it to his memory and pass it on to the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. But sometimes Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would come with two verses, sometimes three verses, sometimes four verses, sometimes five verses, sometimes the entire chapter, and it would become so difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to repeat after Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam quickly and put it to his memory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could not see this sorry and pitiful state of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says to his beloved, oh my beloved, I cannot see the state of yours. لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. Don't move your tongue out of fear that you will not be able to memorize this. إن علينا جمعه وقرآن. It is upon us. It is upon us to make you memorize this Quran and recite make you recite this Quran to the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Your job is to listen to this revelation through your ears, and it is our responsibility to put this to your memory. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِي قُرْآنَ. Whenever we recite through Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, listen to it very carefully. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَ. It is upon us to make tafsir and to mention the meaning of this book that we are revealing to you. When these verses were revealed, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam calmed down and he didn't rush. He used to listen to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Automatically, divinely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to put this Quran to his memory and he would pass it on to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used different categories of people to safeguard different things of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the huffaz of the Quran to preserve the letters or the words, the text of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used a group of qurra to preserve the right and correct pronunciation of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the ulama and the muftis and the scholars of the ummah to preserve the meaning of the Quran. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting his book. And Allah is protecting this book in such a manner that nobody can change a single word here and there. Even a small child, sometimes a child is 6 years old, 7 years old, and he is a hafiz of the entire book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be able to say that this person has read this verse of the Quran incorrectly, and he will correct this person who is considered very, very knowledgeable amongst the people. But a small child can correct this person by saying that this verse of the Quran is not like how you have recited. It is like this, how I have memorized from the Mus'haf. This is the beauty of the Quran. This is the beauty of the Quran. People say that, why do we memorize Quran? My brothers, why do we memorize Quran? We cannot possibly comprehend and understand the high rank and the position and the high status of this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is taking an oath of this Quran. Allah is telling us not to take oath of anything. For if we want to take oath of Kaaba, we're not allowed. You want to take oath of your parents, you're not allowed. You want to take oath of your children, you're not allowed. You want to take oath of someone, you take oath of only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Rabbul Kaaba, the Rabbul Ab, Rabbul the Rabbul Walad, Rabbul Bint, Rabbul Ibn. But you cannot take qasam of these objects, these people. They are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will end my talk with this, and inshallah we will continue tomorrow, that in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, a group of people came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala and who narrates this hadith, that a group of people came and they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we want to learn Quran. Can you send few people who will come and teach us Quran, the words of the Quran, the text of the Quran, and also the meaning of the Quran? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent approximately 70 companions from the Ansar to with these people to teach them Quran. When they reach a certain place, they started killing and assassinating these Qurra Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. So when they started killing them, and this news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. This was a mu'jiza and miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was informed about the condition of the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum which he sent. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had a lot of love for these companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, because they memorized the Quran and they used to recite Quran day and night. This is why they were called the Qurra. The Qurra, people who used to recite Quran, who used to recite Quran abundantly, in excessively. This is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very, very hurt when they, when he was informed about the assassination of these blessed companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala, who says that from amongst these 70 companions, one of them was my uncle, Haram bin Bilhan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was also fighting with these people. Someone from the opposite party threw a spear, and the spear hit the chest of my uncle Haram bin Milhan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and the blood started to gush out from the chest of Haram bin Milhan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he started taking this blood in his hand, and he said, "Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'ba." I take an oath of Rabbul Ka'ba, I have become successful in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the shahad and martyrdom of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with. And then these companions who were alive at that time, who were still not assassinated and killed by the non-Muslims, and they started saying, "Allahumma balligh anna nabiyyana inna qad laqaynaka faradina anka waridita anna," that, Oh Allah, make this reach our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that one day we met you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we became happy with you and you were happy with us, but today it is a sorry state that we have to leave this world without meeting you. Some scholars mention that this was part of Quran in the beginning. Allahumma balligh anna nabiyyana anna qad laqinaka faradina anka waradita anna. But later on, and this was taken out of Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can understand that we as humans are commanded not to take qasam of anything. Haram bin Milhan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu took an oath, but he took an oath of not Kaaba, Rabbul Kaaba. Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba. Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba. So we are not allowed to take an oath. Despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath of Quran, wal Quran al Hakim. This shows the high rank and status of the Quran. And why does he take qasam? He wants to prove the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innaka laminal mursaleen ala siratim mustaqim. That you are a true prophet sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are upon the straight path. Inshallah, we will continue tomorrow. And inshallah, from tomorrow, we'll be going a bit swiftly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to connect ourselves with this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to understand this book. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to implement the teachings of this book. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places a lot of love for this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us sincere and mukhlis khuddam of this great book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until we breathe our last. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khali khalqihi sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa al-aqibatu lil muttaqeen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya والمرسلين نبينا وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد كالذي تقول وخيرا مما نقول. اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك.
اللهم لك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشى ومن دعاء لا يستجاب لها اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أبقيتنا اللهم باعد بيننا وبين معاصي كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا اللهم أصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا اللهم أصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان اللهم اجعلنا من الذين إذا أحسنوا استبشروا وإذا أساءوا استغفروا اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم يا فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت ولينا في الدنيا والآخرة توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا في كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا اللهم واقية كواقية الوليد اللهم واقية كواقية الوليد اللهم واقية كواقية الوليد اللهم تقبل منا صيامنا وقيامنا وصيامنا وقيامنا في هذا الشهر المبارك اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم أعتق رقابنا من النار اللهم أعتق رقابنا من النار اللهم أجنا من النار اللهم أجنا من النار اللهم أجنا من النار اللهم أجنا من النار اللهم ارزقنا تلاوة القرآن آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب غمومنا وهمومنا وسائقنا وقائدنا إلى جنات النعيم اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله ومن يحرم حرامه اللهم آنس وحشتنا في قبورنا بالقرآن يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين وأرحم الراحمين have mercy upon us وأرحم الراحمين accept our fasting وأرحم الراحمين accept our fasting accept our tilawat وأرحم الراحمين accept our ذكر accept our عبادات in this blessed month of Ramadan وأرحم الراحمين whatever little we were able to do وأرحم الراحمين overlook our shortcomings, our weaknesses.
wa arhamur rahimin, through your sifat of karam, and you are kareem, you will accept those things which are not worthy of being accepted. Wa arhamur rahimin, accept our good deeds. Wa arhamur rahimin, accept our good deeds. Wa Allah, accept our good deeds. Wa arhamur rahimin, if we are spending this blessed month of Ramadan in negligence, 11-12 days has been passed. Wa arhamur rahimin, wa arhamur rahimin, if we weren't able to do much, O Allah, grant us tawfiq to do something and try to please you, O Arhamur Rahimin. You have given this month to come close to you. Let it not be that when this month of Ramadan ends, we, instead of coming close to you, we become even more further away from you, O Arhamur Rahimin. O Allah, the 10 days of Rahmah has already passed. We had not seized that opportunity. Now the middle 10 days has started. This is the Ashara of Maghfirah and forgiveness. O Arhamur Rahimin, forgive our sins. O Allah, forgive our sins. O Allah, forgive our sins. O Arhamur Rahimin, make us clean and pure from every kind of disobedience. O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, make us your beloved. O Allah, make us your beloved. O Allah, make us your beloved. So when we are going away, when we are passing away from this world, you are happy with us. We are happy with you. O Arhamur Rahimin, if we die and if we pass away in this state, how are we going to stand in your court and answer to the questions posed by you? O Arhamur Rahimin, there will be so many pious people with us when their book of deeds will be open. There will be so many good deeds in their book of deeds. When our book of deeds will open, what's going to happen? O Arhamur Rahimin, your Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be present. O Allah, O Allah, imagine how hurt he will be when he sees our book of deeds. O Arhamur Rahimin, have mercy upon us. O Allah, we all have to go through this death before that day comes. O Allah, grant us tawfiq to repent sincerely and become your beloved. O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, we have wasted our life until now. O Allah, grant us tawfiq to repent sincerely and make sulah with you. And from now on, our life will be spent in your obedience. O Arhamur Rahimin, after the lockdown opens, O Arhamur Rahimin, we promise you that we will become punctual in our salawat. We will spend time in your house. O Arhamur Rahimin, we will have an allocated portion from your book to recite every single day. O Arhamur Rahimin, we will engage in dhikrullah, in tasbihat every single day. O Arhamur Rahimin, we already see the benefit of practicing upon your deen. We had heard in the past many times that if you practice upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will receive divine tranquility. Now we have tested that for a few days in this period of lockdown. We were engaged in your deen, even though there was so much weakness and we weren't able to connect with your deen as we should have. But whatever little we were able to do in these testing times, we already feel so much tranquility, peace in our hearts, in our life. O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us tawfiq to make our entire life like how we are passing right now. O Arhamur Rahimin, we are fasting in the month of Ramadan. O Allah, grant us tawfiq to make our entire life the fasting, like the fasting of the month of Ramadan. So just as after the month of Ramadan, the day of Eid comes and people rejoice and celebrate when our life comes to an end, and when we go in the hereafter, that hereafter will be the day of Eid for us. O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, O Arhamur Rahimin, in the month of Ramadan, you have given us this opportunity to understand that it is easy for us to control our nafs, our base desires, and stay away from the tricks of shaitan. O Arhamur Rahimin, you have made us realize this. O Allah, grant us tawfiq even after the month of Ramadan to live a life of obedience, or a life according to the teachings of Quran and the hadith of your beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimin, inculcate true love for your true love of your beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inculcate true love for your book. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant us tawfiq to bring every single sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives, because it is our
belief that this is the path which leads to Jannah and this is the path which leads to yourself, O Allah, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, that Nabi has done so much for us, O Allah, the least we can do as his ummati, that we adopt his teachings and we make our life like his life and we adopt every single teaching and every single sunnah of his and bring it into our life. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us tawfiq to practice upon every small sunnah and grant us tawfiq to bring the outer sunnah and also the inner sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, if we don't have beards, O Allah, grant us strength, grant us that power, grant us courage to keep the beard, O Arhamur Rahimeen, because this is a great, great sunnah of your beloved, O Arhamur Rahimeen. If the sisters are not in niqab, O Allah, grant them strength, grant them that courage, O Arhamur Rahimeen, to take this big step in their life and they make them strong upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they start doing hijab and niqab. Warhamur Rahimeen, Warhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon our entire community. Warhamur Rahimeen, place unity amongst us. Warhamur Rahimeen, accept our good deeds. Warhamur Rahimeen, grant us all those khair and goodnesses that your pious predecessors and also Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has asked for, and grant us refuge from all those things which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the pious have sought refuge from. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah العالمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا رب.